Good evening. If I could ask my colleagues to take their seats, we're going to get started. We'd like to start promptly at 7 o'clock. My name is Mark Laredo. I'm a counselor at large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. What I'm going to do is introduce my colleagues and staff briefly, go through the protocol for this evening, and then we're going to get right to work. We try to start promptly in this committee at 7 p.m. We will finish, no matter what, by 10 p.m. tonight. That's our protocol as well. We are doing audio tapes, just so you all are aware of that. So to my immediate left is Councilor Jim Cote, Councilor at Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. To my immediate right is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2 and a member of the committee. And behind him is Councilor at Large from Ward 1, Scott Lennon, a member of the committee and president of the city council. To my far right is Rita Young from our legal department. Next to her is Michael Gleba from our planning department. And next to Mr. Gleba is Nadia Khan, our committee clerk. We have 5 items on the agenda this evening. We're going to take them up in the order that they are listed on the agenda. What I'll ask for each item, I'll ask the petitioner to come up to the podium, state his or her name and address, and briefly describe the project. And I say briefly because if it seems like your project is relatively uncontroversial, i.e. the planning department has said we have no problems with this, there's a general, at least I think the general rule is sometimes less is better. And, you know, say what you want. I don't want to cut anybody off, but really there is no need to go on for 10 or 15 minutes explaining your project if it seems to be pretty straightforward. Then I will take any comments from members of the public who wish to be heard on the petition. I'll listen to the planning department. I'll entertain comments from my colleagues, questions from my colleagues. And then, for some petitions, I anticipate that we're going to close the public hearing and vote them out this evening. For others, I do not anticipate that will happen. It will depend on the particulars of the project. If the project gets voted out of committee this evening, it goes to the full city council on the 20th of March. The full city council then acts on the petition. That is not a public hearing. You're welcome, of course, if you're interested to attend, but certainly not required to. If we do not complete work on a project this evening, we will reschedule it for another date. And before we leave here, I will ask our committee clerk to get us a date so that folks will know when we're coming back. So with that, the first item on our agenda is 40-17. A temporary license to hold Manhattan Village Day, presented by the Manhattan Village Association. Is there anybody here for that project? President Lennon?
Excuse me, the Neighborhood Association was actually having a meeting this evening on this, so they asked if I would actually move this on the, their annual event that they're having. It continues to grow each year. They're doing a great job. We're actually incorporating, I believe, a memorial road race in the morning this year, and I invite everybody here to come on down to the Neighborhood Association Village Day. It hasn't changed. The plan itself hasn't changed, in accordance with for the temporary license. So at the appropriate time, I would move it. They're doing a great job, and I'd be appropriate.
How many miles is this road race, President Lennon? Should I start training now?
Not training. You'll make it, believe me.
Well, I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
All right. Thank
there's
you.
There's no dunk tank this year, so all counselors are safe. But it is an election year, so they actually probably should bring it this year.
All right. We don't need any public. There's no public hearing for this one. Colleagues, any questions on an Anthem Neighborhood Association petition? I know we've had this before every year, as the President noted, and it's certainly a wonderful event. Can I have a motion then for approval? Moved by President Lennon. All in favor of approval? 4 in favor, none opposed. It passes. We move on to our next item. I do note that a couple of my colleagues have indicated they're running late, and I expect them here momentarily. Next item is 17-17, a special permit to further extend a non-conforming structure at 14 Llewellyn Road, to meet in John Evans. This is in Ward 3. If you could just come back around to the microphone, please. Got to go. That's okay. We've been joined by Councilor Rick Lipoff, Councilor at Large from Ward 8 and a member of the committee. Good evening, ma'am. Could you, President Lennon, just assist her, please?
Thank you. My name is Dee Howes. I'm the architect for Canadian John Evans for 14 Llewellyn Road. We're proposing an addition on the back of the house that continues a non-conforming setback. The addition is a kitchen on the first floor and then a bedroom and bath on the second floor.
It's a pretty straightforward project, it looks like.
Yes.
All right. Why don't we do this? Is one to stay up there. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? I assume none. I'm not going to close the public hearing just yet. I'm going to let the planning department give a brief presentation. Entertain any questions from councilors, and then we'll move to close the public hearing. You're welcome to grab a seat, ma'am, if you'd like, for a moment. Go ahead, Mr. Gleba.
All right. Thank you. So, as I said, this is the first approval to extend the non-conforming rear setback.
Go ahead.
The question relates to the first approval to further extend the non-conforming rear setback. From reviewing this, the council should consider whether the proposed extension of the non-conforming rear setback will be substantially more detrimental to the existing non-conforming rear setback into the neighborhood. Now, the background here is an aerial view. The addition would be placed in this area. This is considered a rear setback. It is a corner lot. That is a rear setback because the front is located along the So the site plan is showing the location of the proposed addition. It exists back here, about 13 by 13. It is set behind the garage where the access via the driveway at a unit. There's also a proposed deck adjacent to the addition. Here the elevation of the existing structure. And to contrast, the proposed is in slightly kind of light green. It is a two-story addition, which will provide room on both the first and second floor. Again, this is the view from the side of the rear setback from the two-story addition behind the garage to the left. Let me think, and the view from the island is located again here in the light colored green. And it is about 230 square feet.
So we're just clear, I take it the only change really here is the reason they're seeking relief is they have a setback that's too close already, they're just extending it another 8 or 10 feet?
Exactly.
Okay. Alright, that's helpful. Thank you, Mr. Gleba. We've been joined by Councilor Deb Crosley, Councilor at Large from Ward 5, and a member of the committee. Any questions or comments for the petitioner or for the planning department? Members of the public, lack of comment doesn't mean lack of interest. Sometimes we get plans and petitions that frankly are more routine and we try to dispose of those very promptly. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? I assume then I'm going to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. So moved by Councilor Cody, all in favor of closing the public hearing. 6 in favor, none opposed. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Councilor Cody. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Gleba?
You do.
All right, let's take a look. Could you just speak into the microphone a bit more? I'm not sure it's fully on.
I'll do that, okay. Great. So the proposed standing is whether, the proposed extension of the non-conforming rear setback, as it says on the screen, is not substantially more detrimental than the existing setback is to the neighborhood, because in addition, we might encourage only farther into the setback from the existing structure, and the property will remain compliant with all of the dimensional controls on an old house, and the single residence is really different. So there's the
questions or comments? I'll nitpick. I'm not sure if it's farther or further, but I'll leave that to our wordsmithing at a later date.
Yeah.
Farther? All right. We have a proud graduate of Newton North High School there, so I'll take his word for it. That's true. All right. Well, now that we have unanimity from both sides of the city, we're doing well. All right. Anything else from the findings? No.
That's all.
All right. And the conditions are what we consider routine?
Exactly. The plan, the building, both current conditions, and the final inspection suit of our conditions.
All right. All right. Great. All right. So we have a motion to approve. We have a draft board order. Any further comments? All right. All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, none opposed. Project's approved in committee. We take it up on the 20th. There's absolutely no need for you to be there that night. If you have any questions about process, ma'am, please talk to our committee clerk. She can explain how that works, okay? Best of luck for you and the homeowners on the project. Thank you very much. All right, next. If only all our projects were this simple. 18-17, special permit to further increase the non-conforming FAR at 26 Sterling Street, petitioned by Christopher Duval. This is in 26 Sterling Street, Ward 3 in West Newton. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Richard Levy, the architect for the project. The project basically consists of a small addition on the rear setback of an existing residence. The addition is approximately 83 square feet. It's conforming within the setback. We're seeking relief for FAR. The house is already non-conforming. It is 0.34 FAR in an existing 0.33 zone. We're looking to increase the FAR non-conformance from 0.34 to 0.35 with the 83 square foot addition.
Has there been discussion with the neighbors about the project? I can't. You have to come up, please, sir. Sorry. Good evening. Your name and address, please.
I'm Chris Duval. We're at 26 Sterling. I'm the homeowner. We spoke to one of our neighbors. He asked for some information, so I sent him the plans and talked to him about it. Our other abutting neighbor, we haven't really spoken about it.
But they all get the notice, so they're aware.
Yeah, we have the signs up and everything.
I'm sure you do. All right. Great. Thank you.
Invisible without snow.
All right. Thank you, sir. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak on this project at this time? All right. You're welcome to grab a seat, sir. Why don't we hear from Mr. Gleba of the Planning Department, and then I'll ask for questions and close the public hearing.
All right. So, again, this is a special permit for site plan approval to construct a rear addition. So, we're good with enclosed measuring and covered porch. And as has been mentioned, to further increase the non-conforming FAR from points 13 to 0.35 or 0.34 exists, and 0.33 would be allowed by right. The request of relief is a distinction for the increase in enclosed non-conforming floor area ratio. This is the criteria to consider. The council is seeking to consider the proposed increase from 0.34 to 0.35, where 0.33 is the measurement allowed by right. The consistent and lighting derivation, of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood, whether the proposed modification of the non-conforming structure in the SR1 district will have a substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming use to the neighborhood, whether the site is in appropriate location for the proposed existing living space, to scale the larger floor area of existing single family dwelling by approximately 83 square feet, and whether the proposed existing living space will adversely affect the neighborhood. Some background here is a site view, so an aerial view showing the site and its location on Sterling Street. The area is predominantly zoned SR1, with an SR2 district broken to the north. Current land uses on this university is similar to former business of the sermon. Here is a site plan from the existing and the proposed structures. The existing structures is outlined in gray. You can see the additions just above it in dark gray from the footprint is down to about 83 square feet. There's an additional row of trees to the rear. And then there's some upgrades towards the middle of the side upon which the house sits. These are the existing elevations into the cell. The location is in the existing rear elevation on the upper left. And then, so to suppose, as I say, the trees are limited to that addition right there. And this is a little more detail. Again, we're going to look on the left. This here is a small entryway from the house. See that is on the right, again, a small addition. For some photos, this is view from the side. The addition is on the right-hand side.
Within the fenced-in area?
Within the fenced-in area.
So we're clear, Mr. Glee, that the only request here is FAR, is that right?
Only FAR. All
right, good.
And that's just an overview of the site.
Okay, great. Thank you. Colleagues, questions? Come on in, folks. If you're here for anything, come on in, grab a seat. There's plenty of room. Questions or comments from my colleagues? All right, seeing that, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? I see none. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? So moved by Councilor Cody. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 6 in favor, none opposed. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Councilor Cody. Mr. Gruber, a draft board order for us?
We do. We do have it. We have it with findings. And so then we'll go through them.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we just all take a moment to read to ourselves the first finding, and then we can talk if there's any issues for it, okay? Any questions or comments on the first finding? All right, seeing none. Second, is it just a note the increase from FAR and issues with that one? And third is just, again, it's appropriate. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, we're good with the findings. Any other findings? We have three more, I'm sorry. Okay. Why is that different than an earlier finding, number four, Mr. Gleba?
Excuse me, different?
What's different between four and a previous finding?
Just both of us assigned a special permit.
We needed to accommodate our standards, is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Let's go back to four. Any comments on 4, 5, or 6? Again, this is a really very routine petition. Okay. Any conditions that are different, Mr. Gleba?
No.
Okay. Great. All right. We have a motion by Councilor Cody to approve. All in favor of approval? 6 in... All in favor of approval? 6 in favor, none opposed. We are approved. We're going to take this up on the 20th. There is, again, no need for you to appear. Most likely it'll just be approved on first call. If you have any questions about process or timing or when you can exercise a special permit, please contact either Mr. Gruber or Ms. Kahn, and they can answer all your questions, okay? Good. Best of luck with your project. Hope it goes well. Thank you very much. All right. Next, 19-17. A special permit to rectify an already constructed garage at 129 Cabot Street. There's a petition by Michael Mendes. This is 129 Cabot Street, Ward 2. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Mike Mendes. I am the homeowner of 129 Cabot Street. Is this better?
Much better.
Okay. My name is Mike Mendes. I'm at 129 Cabot Street. I acquired the permit. They built the garage, to spec, to the permit spec, and then it was later determined that the dormer, the one that you see right there, was actually too large. The permit was done in error. Buddy, who was the inspector, said that I needed to get a special permit to rectify that, so that I can continue to finish.
And that's why you're here?
That's why I'm here.
Okay. All right. Why don't we, before I take public comment, let me hear from the planning department about this project, if you would, Mr. Cleaver.
All right.
So this is a special permit to allow a dormer wider than 50% of the exterior wall below on an exterior, on an accessory structure. Again, this is a request for a special permit. That is assumed. The criteria to consider is whether this is a residence site is an appropriate location for that dormer, whether it's developed and operated or adversely affect the neighborhood, whether it would be a nuisance or serious hazard to vehicles or pedestrians, and whether access to the site is appropriate. And those are the standard special permit criteria. This shows the location of the corner of Cabot. The location of the garage is in this area here with the driveway. To be built in this location.
So the driveway comes in off Langdon.
Exactly. You can see that. Sorry. Here there's a proposed paved driveway. That's the location of the garage. For some visuals, this is the front elevation from the garage door and the dormer above. And these are the left and right elevations showing the profile of the proposed dormer.
Okay. And the dormer clearly is far bigger than is allowed by light.
It is definitely more than 50% of the wall below.
It's 71%, I think I read.
I think about that, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Why don't we get public comment first, and then I'm going to have some dialogue with councilors. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Mr. Gaynor, come on up, please. You'll be next, sir. Okay. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Bob Gaynor, and I've lived on Cabot Street for more than 70 years. First was at 109 Cabot Street, and then in 1976 I moved next door to 121 Cabot Street, and I abut the structure in question here. The homes in this neighborhood comprise a circle. It's the border on Cabot Street in the front, Langdon Street on the left side, and Lodholm Road on the right, and which connects with Langdon Street. The homes are predominantly brick and of English Tudor style. Most have undergone hundreds of thousands of dollars in additions for improvements. This tremendous yellow color prefabricated wood addition next to my home consists of two car garage with a dwelling like unit on the top. This tremendous property is located in a non-conforming lot. The massive prefabricated structure dwarfs his main house and is an eyesore to the neighborhood. As one realtor put it, this property will sit for a long time before anybody buys it. It's a mystery of what Mr. Mendes plans to do with a unit above the garage. He has represented to me that his mother-in-law is going to live there. Then he has said at other times that she might not live there all the time because the stairs might be too steep. At other times, he's represented to me there's a playroom for his elementary-age daughter who attends Cabot School. I don't really believe this, but what parent would permit an elementary age child to go out of their home and venture up to the second floor of an unattached garage? At other times, he's represented to me it's for storage, but could not relate what kind of storage he's going to put there. Mr. Mendes lives in a three-bedroom house with a finished basement that was one time was his garage. There were only three people living in his main house. The addition has no architectural integrity in relation to his English Tudor home, and especially in this neighborhood. His yard reminds me of an old Rumford Avenue dump. There are piles of dirt sitting in the front yard for months after the building was put up. The yard up to a couple of days ago contained empty orange Home Depot pots that once contained tomato plants. Until a few days ago also, a broken PVC soccer net with a cage with other netting sat all winter in the front yard. Trash has always been littered in the front yard as well. In summary, Mr. Mendez appears to display a total disrespect for the neighbors. Until a couple of days ago as well, the fence he put up in place of a beautiful brick iconic wall that existed for nearly 80 years possessed a 6 to 8 inch gap running 80 to 100 feet along the perimeter of his property. This was a hazard to many of the Carol Guilford the blind who walk down the sidewalk. Again, it's shown a display of lack of compassion here. Interesting, this past winter, Mr. Mendez's front walk, leading from his front door to the sidewalk, was never shoveled. This represents a hazard for his family and emergency responders. Lastly, the garage shields the oncoming cars traveling down Cabot Street. Any motorist unfamiliar with this area and traveling too fast on Langdon would be unable to detect these cars until it's too late. Even prior to the structure going up, there have been numerous accidents in this area. This garage just magnifies the problem. I'm attaching a petition signed by 55 households from Cabot, Lodholm, Langdon, Surrey, and Claremont to objecting to this permit. Also, I'm enclosing several pictures that highlight the structure. In the practice of law, this is a case of res ipsa loquitur. The matter speaks for itself. Thank you for your consideration. And I'd like to
thank you, President Lennon. Would you mind grabbing it from former law opening Dana? All right. There was a gentleman over here. Come on up, please. Others who wish to be heard, I'll take you next afterwards. I'm gonna ask people to keep their remarks about 3 minutes or so or less. We have not only this petition, but I think what I foresee is a lengthy one after that. Good evening, sir.
Hi, my name is Steve Greenberg. I'm a neighbor up the street on Cabot Street. There's not much more that I can add to what Bob has already said, other than it seemed to have been I'm gonna build it attitude and see what everybody else has to say about it after it's built. It's huge. It's not in keeping with any of the style of the neighborhood. The foundation was built too big and had to be taken down and cut back and pushed back, which to me means build it and see what everybody has to say about it. There's also another structure in his backyard, which is called a shed, which is just under the minimum for a building permit, which is ugly, and it's right in Bob's backyard as well. I don't think you should be able to build something and have to come in and have a special permit to acknowledge it after it's done. It should have been done right in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, good evening.
Good evening. I've never done anything like this before, but I noticed when a foundation was being put down for this so-called garage, two houses up from where I have lived and owned at 149 through 151, Cabot Street, I asked the wife of the owner, the co-owner, what was being built. She said a garage was being built. I asked at the time why it wasn't being attached to the house, as is usual with garages of such a style of to go with a Tudor building. As my neighbor Bob had noticed, the orange Home Depot buckets with dying plants littering the front yard. I've won 6 awards from the City of Newton for my garden, from the Newton Beautification Committee. I have over 15,000 square feet of land in my yard. I was horrified. I come down Langdon Street every single day. I was horrified to see this overwhelming, oversized eyesore of a structure that appears to be shoddily built with no sense of design, which cuts off visibility around the corner and which brings down the look and the tone of the whole neighborhood. I asked myself, why are they, this is not a garage, this is a freestanding structure with an apartment. Why are they putting up a freestanding structure with an independent apartment? What is the use that they intend for it? And is the zoning committee going to allow people to just willy-nilly put up structures and rent them out or do whatever they like with them. So I concur absolutely with every one of my neighbors' well-prepared points, and I came here to object to this building as an eyesore to the neighborhood, and think that nothing of this sort should ever have been allowed.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please, this gentleman there and then this one here. Let me just remind members of the public that we are not a design committee. We are being asked to approve a request for special permit, and the relief that's being sought is this dormer as built is too wide for a by right dormer. That is the issue before us. And so anyone's welcome to say what they want, but we are constrained in our duties to acting as a quasi-judicial body to look at the requested relief, which is should this dormer as built be allowed or not, and there's reasons for or against. But with that said, go ahead, please. Before you do, I've been joined by Councillor Susan Albright, Councillor at Large from Ward 2, and Councillor Barbara Bruzal Glazer, Ward Councillor from Ward 3. Neither a member of the committee, but both, of course, always welcome. Good evening, sir.
My name is Robert Young. I'm a contractor, and I live directly across the street at 128. On page 4 of the memorandum regarding the sharing tonight, it says that the planning department notes that the siding of the garage is not consistent with the principal structure or the neighborhood, and also it says that staff has asked the petitioner to consider improving the attractiveness of the garage either by plantings, material, or color. And I hear what you just said about that you're not here to gauge the aesthetics. However, I do believe that, I mean, it does say in this memorandum that this is that the aesthetics are one of the issues here, and I think that one of the things that would greatly help resolve this is if we know if how Mr. Mendez is planning on finishing this. Is this the finished structure? Is he planning on following any of the suggestions made by the planning committee in terms of plantings, materials, putting stucco on the side or whatever? I think that would be very relevant to the appropriateness of the dormer.
Thank you, sir. Let me be clear. I didn't mean to say that we had no say in that. As part of the special permit, if we issue a special permit here, we can impose a variety of conditions on that special permit, such as types of siding that would get put on, screening, and other things. So I want to be clear what our role is. This gentleman here, then over here, and then come on up, please. Sir, please. And then back there. Good evening. Name and address, please.
My name is Mark Vasu. I'm at 140 Langan Street. We abut the this neighbor, and Bob Dooner, who spoke his remarks earlier, is directly behind us. In 2007, we did a nearly $500,000 renovation. We thought it was an improvement to the neighborhood. We don't believe that this is. The concern about the dormer is its use. It was represented to me by Mr. Mendez that he planned to use it also as a playroom. And the size of that dormer also lends itself to, as noted in here, that it could be used as an in-law apartment. And there's reference made here that should be considered in terms of the overall size of the dormer. Aside from the fact that it's also a blind, it creates visibility issues in an intersection that tends to have high traffic accidents. We also share a property line and an easement with a shared driveway. This references here that there is a petitioner states he's working with the abutter to abandon the right-of-way as noted on the plans. That has not been approved. We have not given him permission, and instead what has happened is he's taken the brick from the driveway, removed it, and put it in front of his drive, and put it in front and used it as a way to get in and out of his driveway during muddy and difficult weather conditions. There's a final point is you don't see this on this here, but I have photos that I can include in this that I'd like to share. He's already built a third dwelling in the back, which is large enough to house a garage or a car and become a garage, and that is taking up the back space, which formerly was Bob's view of his deck in the back, and is now consuming most of the space in the backyard. This had referenced that, you know, structures typically are for of this kind are normally supposed to be in the back of a house, but there was no alternative. To me, it appears that there very much was an alternative because a permit was given and approval and a dwelling was placed in the back. Again, for three people, three new dwellings, I think the use for this and the size of it is consistent with a desire to use it in ways other than stated here, which is for storage. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please come on up.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Would you speak into the microphone, please? Your name and address first.
My name is Bill Martin. I live at 149151 Cabot Street, just a few yards from the structure in question. I have a question because you had said that the purpose of this committee is to deal with a by right. Whatever that question is, can you please define that a little bit
more? I'll be happy to, because I think, and if I wasn't clear, I apologize. In this city, under our zoning code, you're allowed to build certain projects by right, which means the only approvals you need are from the building inspectors to make sure your plumbing and your electrical is proper, to make sure that you're within the appropriate setbacks, to make sure that you obey other zoning and building safety rules. There are other projects where you are allowed to come before this committee and then the full city council for what's called a special permit, which means you cannot do something as a matter of right, but you can do it with the permission of this committee and the council. And oftentimes, if we grant a special permit, we do so with imposing certain conditions on the permit, landscaping, for example, or other types of things that are designed to reduce the impact of the change in the special permits seeking. Again, special permits are a very appropriate vehicle. If you were here a few minutes ago, we had two special permits. People came in. They were seeking relief to do something that was not allowed as a matter of right, but was a matter of discretion, and we just voted to approve them. So that's it, the process, sir. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you. If a detached garage was also being used as a rental property or a rental unit with the appropriate plumbing, electricity, etc., that would be allowed according to the terms of this committee?
Great question, because we have in front of us currently in our Zoning and Planning Committee an accessory apartment ordinance proposal, and one of the issues in that is whether detached structures should be allowed to have an accessory apartment as a matter of right, or if they have to come before the city council for a special permit. They have opinions on that, voice into the Zoning and Planning Committee, because it's taking up that issue currently.
Okay, so that decision right now, you're saying, has not been clarified.
Now you could not build an accessory apartment without coming to the city council and obtaining a special permit.
Okay, again, living where I live and where the other folks here live, we've had interactions with four people. One is Mr. Mendes, one is his wife, a third is his daughter, and a third is a fellow whom, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but he seems to be renting that space above that garage. So the question is, and that's just hearsay, I can't verify that, okay? I'm just saying it.
How do we do this? Well, duly noted for the moment. We'll inquire the petitioner, and then if appropriate, we'll ask Inspectional Services to look into it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Any other member of the public? I got Mr. Wadnick. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Councilman. I live at 35 Watt Home Road. My name is Mark Wadnick. I'm a diagonal abutter of the property. And I don't really have much to add other than, after all our neighbors have come out to oppose this, I just want to confirm that everything's been said. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, the gentleman, second row, and then I see a couple others. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Mark Rosen, 131 Langdon Street, virtually almost across the street from the
building in question here. I totally concur. There's nothing much I can add to what already hasn't been said. I'm probably the second longest living citizen on that street after Bob Gaynor. So I'm also very opposed to what that the city, to begin with, allowed a structure like this to be constructed. I thank you.
Thank you, sir. Others, come on up, please, and then, ma'am, you're next after that. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Sally Babigan. I'm at 34 Lot Home Road. I live across the street from the Gainers, and I, too, don't have much else to add to this except that every friend of mine who is a Newton resident has said upon in these last few weeks or months that it's an eyesore, and they can't believe that something like that would be allowed in Newton, and especially in our neighborhood, which the Lot Home and Langdon block is mostly English tutors, or all English tutors. And it, to me, growing up in Maine and hearing my relatives speak, it reminds me what I envision is a shanty town. And there's three different structures, and they don't flow. I mean, this looks beautiful here. It's a nice structure. It doesn't do justice to what we see every single day, no matter if I go to the right on Cabot or if I'm coming down Cabot. I have to look at this structure that is completely looks like it was blown in from the wind and landing on his front yard. This is not what we see. What we see is a prefabricated unit that almost looks as large as his house, sitting next to the house, and another structure in the back. And you know, we have a beautiful neighborhood in our Garden City, and I would just hate to see this happening again and again and say it happened on Cabot Street and it was approved and it was fine. I just would like to see it fixed in some manner, and maybe going forward, looking at the homes and the structures that are added, and do they conform? Because this has no relation to the house or to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe this woman over here has been patient to wait. Come on up, please, ma'am. Anybody else after that? The gentleman behind next to you. Go ahead, please. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Brenda Vandermeer, and I live at 134 Langdon Street, which is one house over from this gentleman. I've had no interaction with the family, but I am a real estate broker with Hammond and Newton, and knowing the FAR regulations, knowing that this is a multifamily zoned lot, and I understand that while it may conform to FAR, it appears that we're not sure about the use. We don't know if that portion of the garage is heated. We don't know what the other garage is for. My question, I do have a question whether or not both of these structures were built by right, because they both kind of, as someone said, flew in and erected themselves. They're both prefab structure and not in keeping with the neighborhood. I'm not opposed to new construction. We deal with new construction day in, day out, but it's usually of some quality, and the ilk of this particular set of buildings is not of any quality, and my concern is that someone will live in that space. It does look about the same size as the original house, so I don't know what the intention was, if it was intended to be a freestanding townhouse. It looks like it's going in that direction. I don't have any comments about the Home Depot buckets, except to say that they've been quite an eyesore as well, as everybody has testified. I don't know about the safety issue, but it does look like another property has been erected on this lot due to the size.
Thank you. Sir, come on up, please. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Chris Aldinger. I live at 134 Langdon Street as well. So this house, garage, is completely out of character with the neighborhood. And the limitation here of 1.5 stories has been essentially broken to be a two-story dwelling or garage, I'm not sure which is substantially detrimental to the character of the neighborhood, given its style, and also blocks visibility, as has been noted by others, by vehicles that are traveling from Langdon to Cabot and vice versa. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? All right. Let me just say, I have a couple of questions for the petitioner, if you could, sir. So I guess number one, sir, just so we get clarity on the record, is anybody occupying the second floor currently?
No, there is no one occupying it. There's no plumbing, there's no gas in it. I have never intended to rent it out.
But do you intend to use it as living space?
I plan to use it for my own personal use.
And is that going to be, are you going to be putting a kitchen or a bathroom up there?
No, because there's no plumbing. If I had wanted to do that, I would have done it before.
Yes. And there was mention of another structure on your property, sir. Do you have a permit for that?
Yes.
You do. Building permit?
Yes.
Building permit.
I want to say that this isn't done. This isn't what it's going to finally look at. When Betty said, came by and realized that thing was too large, he was like, okay, you have to stop doing work. I want to... So on the dormer side, I was going to put the Tudor-style wood, which I actually have ready to put up. It matches the opposite side of the other half of the main house, so it would look uniform. I was also going to do Tudor-style wood finishing, and the color I do is off, and that needs to be painted. What you see now is not what the final thing is.
So we encourage, in this committee, we encourage petitioners to talk to their neighbors. I understand you're in a situation.
Yeah, I did talk to my two close neighbors.
All I can say is I see a lot of folks here this evening, sir, who apparently don't feel that they've had an opportunity to share their observations with you.
Yeah, I wish I had known that. I would have.
I think that you can see that there's some considerable opposition here.
Right. Yeah.
Let me stop for a moment. We've been joined by Councilor Greg Schwartz, Vice Chair of the Committee, Councilor at Large from Ward 6. Questions or comments for my colleagues? Councilor Ripoff, Auchincloss.
Let me just remind the public, we cannot be the taste police if this structure met the guidelines, which obviously it did because you got a permit. We can't talk about where it is. What we can talk about is the dormer. I have a question for the petitioner. Did you give the building department plans showing a smaller dormer?
No, I did not. What they had was exactly what you have there. And it had all the dimensions for that dormer, which unfortunately, as you know, was 71% and it should have been 50.
And they gave you the building permit, but then when they came out, they noticed the mistake that they made?
Exactly, yeah. Buddy was like, we should have caught this. And I really wish they had.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Auchincloss?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This, frankly, this puts us in a really awkward situation, because I can tell you, I live 1 feet away from this project. I would not have voted for this special permit if it had come in front of us properly before it had been built. I do not believe it's an appropriate location for the accessory structure. It really does look profoundly out of place where it's at. But the mistake was on the city. And so how do we rectify this without making him unnecessarily incur cost? It's not fair if he has to pay the money to deconstruct it, right? But at the same time, this would have been the first time I voted against a special permit.
Councilor Crosley.
So, it's clear that there's some, I'll call it angst in the neighborhood, that there's more going on here than the request for special permit that is before us this evening. And I think that we need to be very careful to limit our discussion to what is before us this evening.
there's not a way, Councillor Auchincloss, to rectify this without the incurring cost on the owner if we're going to say that we deny the special permit for the dormer. He would have to reduce the size of the dormer. If you reduce the size of the dormer, the project is a by-right project. It would never have come here. So the fact that if the building is out of place on the lot, if the lot, I notice, is an unusual shape, so it seems to have a pie-shaped sort of front yard, and so therefore having a garage there is quite awkward, but apparently it meets all the setbacks. Now, if the planning department can confirm that. It probably looks extra big in that front yard because of the odd-sized lot. But the footprint shows that it's quite a bit smaller than the original portion of the house without its additions, and the original portion of the house is labeled as a two-story, and this is a one-and-a-half-story. You know, when I first looked at this without knowing the lot and without knowing the circumstances and without seeing the actual structure, I wondered why it was before us, because I can't remember a time when we have had the dormer rule applying to an accessory structure. Every other petition that's been before us when I've been here for going on 8 years has had to do with dormers above a second story. The dormer rule doesn't apply to a house, to the second story of a house. It only applies to the third story of a house, because we're allowed 2.5 stories. So the dormer rule, it says right here, only applies to a portion of the building above the second story of a house. It does also say, and accessory structures. So since accessory structures are only allowed to be 1.5 stories, I'm guessing that's why this is applied here.
I think that's the answer, Councilor Clausley. My understanding...
I realize. Please let me
finish. Ms. Young is going to confirm that.
So I'm guessing that is also why at the inspectional services, there may have been some confusion about this. It flipped through the cracks. I can actually understand that. How I feel about what the building looks like and its proportion or disproportion or whatever is not relevant to that. If we don't want to incur cost on the owner because it was an error, it was the permit was issued in error, then we're supposed to think about ways to mitigate the appearance of bulk, I suppose, because that's what the dormer ordinance is intended to do. It's intended to make the dormer look subservient to the mass of the house. And I'm not sure actually how to do that in this case. I don't think determining what siding to put on the building would help to diminish the appearance of the dormer. And our conditioning of the permit is supposed to be relevant, and I'd love the law department to weigh in here, as I have always learned it, and Rita has been my teacher. The mitigation that we impose is supposed to be relevant to the relief we are seeking. And all we're asked to do here is to provide relief for the oversized dormer. That's all we're allowed to do here.
Thank you, Councilor Clausley. I have Councilor Albright and Schwartz. We've been joined, and Cody, we've been joined by Councilor Jay Harney, Ward Council from Ward 4, member of the committee. Mr. Gruber, I do have a question for you before we get to Councilor Albright, and that is, are you aware of that there is another structure apparently on the property?
I am not aware of that at this time.
And sir, you said you got a building permit for that third structure?
Yes, I did.
And would having another structure in the property impact any of the analysis, either legally or by planning?
No, I would have to see the structure. I wouldn't see that exactly. The discussion is the location, the size. I do not know.
I would think that we would need an answer to that. I don't know the answer, but I think we will need an answer to that. Councilor Albright?
So I did go and drive by, and, you know, the odd thing is that I used to work at Tufts University and went down that street every day, and when I left, I stopped going down that street every day, and so I never, it was really odd to see something that I hadn't seen, and it's been there for a while.
let me ask my question first about this petition. This petition would not be with us if it weren't for the dormer being larger than it's supposed to be. Is that correct? It's nothing to do with the accessory structure by itself.
Let me be clear. Is that right? And have we done some confirmation or any confirmation of the information the petitioner is giving to us, or are we just relying on the petitioner's information?
Without the dormer, it would be a by-right garage. And the analysis is done based upon the submission, the application submission, as well as the site visit. So it would be based upon those two.
Have you done a site visit here?
I did not handle this one.
Did Mr. Cronin did? Did he do a site visit?
I'm sure he did.
But we don't know about this third structure, right?
I have not discussed that with him.
All right.
So the reason I asked that question was because I was looking at the significant relief issues. And the second one says the proposed structure will not adversely affect the neighborhood. So I was wondering, if it's just about the dormer, why is that issue there? Why is that relief being asked for if it's just about the dormer? So I think there's something funny going on with the relief that's listed here.
Well, I don't know I don't know the answer to that. I think that's from the planning and legal, primarily planning department.
There's also another one, the structure is proposed will not be a nuisance or create serious hazards to vehicles. So if it's not about the structure, why is that really?
Well, but the dormer is about that. I mean, the dormer, given its size, it seems to me, it does create issues about visibility as you turn.
Okay, just about the dormer as it affects the building itself, the accessory structure. So, I mean, I hear the complaints, and I totally understand the complaints about this particular garage, because it is very jarring to have the design it has right next to it. You know, it's all that neighborhood is significantly a Tudor neighborhood, but you've heard that the Land Use Committee is not the design police, as Council Lipoff has mentioned. However, I do think Mr. Mendez, is that the name of the petitioner?
It is.
I think Mr. Mendez, you could have gone a long way by, and maybe still could go a long way, by doing something outside of this process that has something to do with the design of that building. And maybe, I don't know if this is going to be voted on tonight, I guess.
I'm not voting this tonight.
I think it would be in your best interest if you show the neighbors, and then by way of showing us as well, what you plan to do to mitigate the way this building looks in that neighborhood, which may make everybody else feel a little bit better, because I can totally understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, I agree also. I need to finish it up. It's not done.
But in absence of being able to finish it up, which you can't until you get the special permit, I think, you know, all the... Alderman Auchincloss. Councilor Auchincloss is the you know, the Ward 2 representative on this committee, and I'm sure he would be willing to host a meeting where you can show the neighbors what you plan to do visually, so that they can see what you're planning to do to mitigate the way this building looks in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can quiet down all of these objections. I think that's the next step that has to happen before it comes back to this committee.
Thank you, Councilor Albright. I think I have Councilor Cote, Schwartz, Lennon. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've covered, there's a lot of topics I was going to address right there. The last thing on this is I'm looking online with the building permits. The site does have 4 open building permits currently, and it doesn't have a lot of detail on what they are, but maybe planning or somebody could check on that.
Planning needs to look into that in some more detail. Thank you, Councilor Cote. Councilor Schwartz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Councilor Albright, former member of the committee, put it just right. I was going to say almost exactly what she said. I think has to be clear, and I think it's been made clear by our colleagues and the chair, that our committee, unfortunately or fortunately, does not deal with design issues. But clearly those are playing a big role here and are legitimate concerns, I think, on the part of your neighbors, sir. So I think it's not unreasonable to try to address those as well as you can, and I would encourage you to try to do that. I think that would go a long way to kind of show goodwill that this committee would then be ready to perhaps provide the relief that you need. We understand that you based your decisions on perhaps incorrect analysis by the building department, but you still do need this relief. So I think that I know I would be inclined to give that if I felt that you were trying to mitigate the impact on your neighbors. So I do encourage you to have a meeting with them, try to show them what you plan. It sounds like you do have some good plans that will make this fit a lot better in the community. And I hope that would occur before we see this again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Schwartz. President Lennon?
Just a couple questions. On the proposed FAR, I'm just looking at the zoning memo. Does the proposed FAR include the third structure that we're talking about? All the massing above grade? Or is it just the garage?
I believe it's just the garage and the existing dwelling.
Right, so it doesn't include this third structure that we're hearing about. That would be correct?
Yes.
And then, right. I'm going off the zoning memo. Okay, the survey included the square footage of those that can determine the compliance. I'm asking about the third structure though that we're hearing about. That's what I was curious about. I see it there, but I was curious how that worked into the zoning memo. Sure. And then the other question I had was, they're also listed, I know it talks about this in the memo, so the proposed additions, are you still considering moving forward with those, or?
No, I'm not.
Probably not after tonight, no.
No, I'm not doing that. That FAR that you have should have that sentence.
I was just curious, because again, that would, then you'd be adding, you have this other third structure, your garage, your proposed sunroom, there'd be an awful lot going on the lot. So I was curious about that. You made mention that you were going to use the second floor space in the garage for personal use. I think the memo talks about storage. So did you mean storage, or did you mean you'd have it as an office, or something like, I'm just curious.
Possibly as an office.
That would probably be discussed during your neighborhood meeting.
Yeah, I would not. It's not going to be a rental.
Okay. And I do think, to Councilor Crosby's point, when we're talking about, we're, and I agree with all your points, Councilor, as I usually do, but when talking about the structure itself and where it's situated, I think that the dormer is really adding to the mass and the bulk on the site. Usually we deal with them behind the house, and when we talk about not being the design police, as Councilor Albright said, we usually try to be the encouraged to be the design police when they have neighborhood meetings and kind of talk some of those things out. So I definitely think that needs to happen, and I think because of where this is situated, that this rather large dormer is adding to a lot of the concern in the neighborhood. So I definitely feel that if the structure is going to remain where it is, I don't think we have any other choice but to reduce this dormer. That would be my opinion. I don't know how all my colleagues feel about that, but hopefully something like that could be mitigated in a neighborhood meeting, and they could talk about some ways in which they could mitigate the massing and the bulk with design. Not for us to do here, but maybe that they could all talk about that. So,
Councilor Auchincloss, did you want to add something?
I wanted to ask Attorney Young, following up on Councilor Albright's question. The second and third significant issues for consideration talk about the proposed structure will not adversely affect the neighborhood. I read that as the structure. But it sounds like the chair is saying that it's actually the marginal impact of the dormer upon the structure will not adversely affect the neighborhood. And I think
that's a fair reason. One of the problems you've got is that there are no specific criteria given in the ordinance that address what you need to look at
for a 50% larger dormer, as there are, for example, when you exceed FAR or height, it tells you to go look around the neighborhood and see how that additional increase fits in with the neighborhood. There's nothing of that sort in the dormer ordinance. It simply says if you exceed by 50%, you need to have a special permit. And the criteria that are given out are simply the special permit criteria, which, frankly, are pretty crude. But I go back to what Councillor Crosley said, which is that what we're looking at when we do a special permit for a particular element of a structure is you look at that particular element and the impact of the relief being requested on that element. So I think it does potentially get into the overall massing, but it's not the impact of the structure per se. I mean, many of the points raised by the neighborhoods are quite, I would suggest, sound as though they're more related to the structure itself and not that particular dormer element on the structure, although that might contribute to the bulk, and maybe that's something that can be addressed through the special permit process. But the sight lines are not going to be related to the dormer, is my general belief, and that is a real concern.
Sight lines on the second story, because they might interfere with someone driving down Langdon, won't be relevant?
I think you can look at that, but I'm not sure that that's what was being described as the problem as you approach that intersection.
I understand the general philosophy that the attorney is describing here, but looking at these criteria, there's a fair degree of subjectivity baked into these.
Absolutely.
And I cannot look at the criteria that says the proposed structure will not adversely affect the neighborhood. Living in that neighborhood, it adversely affects the neighborhood. I mean, it is almost comically out of place.
Councilor Crosley, you want to engage in some debate?
No. I so
you said that look.
I agree with Councilor Auchincloss that the garage structure may not be appropriately sited, and therefore it probably does interrupt sight lines and that sort of thing. I don't know what the safety issues may or may not be. All those things are true, or may be true, but I also agree that the only relief being sought here under our rules is relief for the oversized dormer, which you earlier said perhaps that, you know, you don't want to impose cost on the homeowner because it was an error in the building department. However, the easiest thing for him to do may be to go back to a by right situation, in which case the building is still there. It's still out of character by most people's opinion, and it's still obstructing views by most people's opinion. But it would be out of our hands.
Right, but it's in our hands right now. It's
not
subject to our
criteria. We're not going to have a back and forth. Councilor Crosley first.
If the homeowner wants to continue to pursue the special permit, then we have the power to impose conditions to mitigate the impact of this thing. But it's of the dormer. Now, I understand you want to try to work something out with a neighborhood that is going to solve perhaps more than that. But I just want to be really clear in my own head about what is it that's before us and what are the options for correcting that. Because otherwise this project is by right. I did want to ask one question of the planning department, though, along the lines of what President Lennon was bringing up on the FAR, and with respect to the assertion that there's a third building somewhere. Number one, is there a third building under construction or proposed? Because on the site plan, I see two additions to the main house as proposed.
Petitioner just said there was a third building. Is that correct?
A third separate building?
It's a shed.
And
it's not on that picture.
Oh, so it's like less than 120 square foot?
Yes.
So it's portable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but he's got a building permit for it.
Yes, I was required to get a building permit for it.
Okay, but that's not in our purview here. What I want to understand then, therefore, so there's two additions plus a shed of under 120 square feet
No.
Plus
nope.
The garage. Do we have an accurate floor
area, gross floor area count that we have looked at here, because there's also assertions that the lot is overbuilt.
I don't think, Councilor Clark, I think that's the question I asked earlier, and I think Mr. Gruber, in fairness to him, was not the planner on this project, so he's working off Mr. Cronin's work.
I didn't hear that, so you don't know if we have an accurate floor. It wasn't, so normally it would be submitted with the building permit.
So the just for clarification, the FAR in the zoning memo and the planning memo is based upon the site plan that's shown here. So it includes the dwelling as a standard with the proposed additions at that time, plus the garage, but not in shed or other structure, but maybe in the backyard.
Okay. So, and is that based upon what was submitted for the building permit?
Yes. So for the building permit,
you have to submit a floor area calculation in order to get a building permit.
I presume that would have been in the building permit application.
Why don't we do this, Councilor Crosby? I think these are excellent questions, but rather than try to put Mr. Gleaver on the spot, I will say a tad unfairly that we've raised the question. We're not going to decide this tonight. I think we need a lot more information to make sure we get our facts straight so we act properly. Is that okay? Okay. All right. Councilor Albright and then Councilor Auchincloss in response. Are you
okay? I think that the only way that the neighborhood has of dealing with this particular structure is if the dormer larger than 50% stays as part of the special permit. That is to say, if Mr. Mendez were to decide, let me put 10 feet off this dormer, then this project would, or maybe it's 15 feet, I'm not exactly sure what it is. But if the dormer would suddenly become less than 50%, then it would no longer be before the Land Use Committee, correct?
We don't know that because we haven't gotten all our information.
Well, based on the application as we know it today, this application would no longer be before us if the dormer were reduced in size.
I think that's what we're hearing based on the data that's before us, based on the calculations that are before us, but I think we have some reason to look at those a little more carefully.
I think that's fine. We should look at it, but I just wanted to point out to the committee and to the neighbors that the fact that this is before us is because it's too large. The dormer is too large. And frankly, the dormer is the, to my way of looking at it, when I drove by it tonight, the dormer is the least part of this problem. And I think if we could encourage Mr. Mendez to do some design that mitigates the size of this structure, we'd all be better off. The neighbors would be better off. So I would argue that we're better off leaving the dormer the size it is and hoping that Mr. Mendez can do something better with this building.
Well, any other comments on this? Because we're not going to act on it tonight. I'm going to add my personal observation. I'm not going to make a final judgment on anything. I'm going to have a very hard time voting in favor of this current project as is. I think this dormer, I'm appreciative, and very appreciative of the difficult situation you've been placed in. You relied apparently on some advice from the building department. That's a very unfortunate situation. We never like to see someone there. But this dormer seems to me far wider than we allow normally. I think the concerns that have been addressed are valid ones, although I agree and appreciate what my colleagues have said about that. We're here only on the special permit process and not on other factors. But I'm having the same problems I think I heard Councilor Auchincloss talk about, you know, is this consistent with the neighborhood or not? And a dormer that is 71% when it's supposed to be less than 50%, in my mind, just doesn't meet that test, particularly given the location here. So I'm going to urge you, as Councilor Albright said, and to sit down, to talk with your neighbors, to talk really carefully about how this might be done better, because if it can be done better in a way that works for folks, we'll listen to that. We're in the business of trying to actually get things done and help people, but I think it needs some work. So what I'm going to suggest is, it's the 7th. Councilor Auchincloss, do you think you could convene a meeting in the next couple of weeks? Ms. Khan, could we put this back on for the 28th, or is that too early? Or are we better doing it then or the first week in April? Which would you... which do we have more on for? We are. All right. We are going to put this on for March 28th, which is when we're going to reconvene here. I'm going to take a motion to hold in just a moment. What I'd suggest, Mr. Mendez, if you would, when we're done here, if you would just jot down the email addresses of your neighbors so that you can communicate them, communicate with Councilor Auchincloss. This is not a formal meeting of the City Council. This is neighbors doing what we encourage often, which is petitioners talking with their neighbors, because one-on-one civil conversation often leads to far better results for you and for your neighbors. So we're going to urge you to do that. We're going to put it back on for the 28th. If on the 28th you tell us you're not, if you tell us a week beforehand you're not ready, we'll put it off, okay?
Yes, can we put it off? I'm going to be out of town on the 28th.
You're not here the 28th, so all right. Can we do April 4th? All right, we'll put it on for April 4th, which is the first Tuesday in April. That will give about a month to do that. Ms. Khan, do you want to get email addresses to people? Ms. Khan will step outside and grab email addresses of people who want to be notified about when the next hearing is on this matter. So we'll take a 2-minute recess to allow her to do that. Can I have a motion to hold this petition? Motion by Councilor Auchincloss to hold. All in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold. 8 hold. Councilor Harney, hold. 8 hold. Okay. We're going to take a 2-minute recess and then we're going to take up the Fuller Street matter. Thank you all.
Thank you. How did it feel coming back, huh? I'm going to ask my colleagues to take their seats. My colleagues, if you could take your seats, please. I'm going to read the next and last item of the evening into the agenda. This is 20-17, a special permit to extend a non-conforming use in FAR 85 Fuller Terrace. It's by D&L Remodeling, Inc., Andrew DiPasquale. This is at 85 Fuller Terrace, Ward 3. Good evening, Attorney Morris. We're going to hear a presentation for you. I hope you're not longer than 10 minutes. And then I know there are lots of folks who are eager to speak on this project tonight. I'll take all the public comment you want, but the rules will be straightforward. You come up to the podium, you state your name, you state your address, and you keep your remarks about 3 minutes or less, okay? It is not my intent to take a vote on this item this evening, just so we're really clear about that. All right, good evening, Mr. Attorney Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with Office of 57 Elm Road in Newtonville, and I'm here representing my clients, Mr. Andrew DiPasquale and Michael Salvucci. And with us also is the project architect, Mr. Sandy Cassis, in case there are any questions about floor area ratio and other aspects of the project. Mr. Chairman, I had sent a letter to the committee, of course, in an effort to try to streamline matters, but I think it's useful for those people who may not be aware of certain facts. I would like to just outline some of those things. It will not be more than 10 minutes, I guarantee. In accordance with the committee's protocol, my clients did, in fact, conduct a neighborhood meeting. They leafleted 31 houses out around Hatfield Road and Fuller Terrace for a meeting that was held on February 18th. Approximately 15 people attended the meeting. There were some issues that arose during and after the meeting that I'd like to address. The first was, of course, this question of the historic nature of the building, and whether or not proper information had been given to the preservation planner to make a decision on the property. I can tell you that the record indicates that on July 18th of 2016, my client submitted a building permit application, which they indicated the house was built in 1890. And then the formal process of historic review was initiated by myself on February 3rd, and I completed the application with the same information, but went beyond that and identified the fact that the property in 1929 had a Pleasant Street address and was located on a 2-acre parcel prior to the subdivision that created the rest of Fuller Terrace and Hatfield Road. I think Katie Holmes followed up with an email which put the matter to rest to the two ward council, stating that I want to be clear that the project performance completed the NHC review successfully. I trust that this would put that matter to bed. Second issue, of course, was assertions that my clients had worked without the benefit of a building permit. I was asked that question at the neighborhood meeting. Unfortunately, at the time, I didn't have the information to respond to that because I was not actively involved in that issue on my client's behalf. But since that time, knowing it would be a concern, I basically have further information to share with the committee in that regard. As I said, in July of 2015, my clients applied for and obtained a building permit to do the following work: wall removal, kitchen remodeling, bathroom remodeling, painting, and hardwood flooring. As they were doing the work, ripping up the old floor to install the new, they had discovered that several of the floor joists had rotted and needed replacement. This fact can be confirmed by architects present who observe the same condition upon inspection. As we know, that when you're dealing with houses that are more than a century old, in this case 125 years old, the remediation of one standard subcondition can lead to another, and in fact that is what happened. The replacement of floorboards led them to back out to the exterior wall, where they observed the same condition as some of the wall studs. Replacing them with studs caused the exterior siding to fail. Upon inspection, the building inspector observed that the scope of work exceeded the original permit and issued a stop work order, which I submitted to the committee, requiring them to submit amended plans and obtain another permit, which they did. All of those documentations have been submitted to you as evidence of that fact. However, it became apparent to us, even though there were only 15 people who attended the meeting, that there was a lot of distrust in the neighborhood that emanates from the use of a property on Hatfield Road. And it would appear that my clients are being lumped categorically with the owner of that property in some fashion. I tried to explain to the neighbors at the meeting that, in fact, the likelihood of this property being used illegally was remote because of the public nature of the process. In fact, my clients have voluntarily submitted in prior application to do so. That were the committee to approve this petition, that it would be subject to an occupancy permit at the end. And there's just too many eyes on here to suggest that there would be impropriety of the sort that aggravated the neighborhood in such fashion. Now we come down to the central issue, and that is, of course, whether there's another suggestion that I think City Solicitor Rita Young addressed, and that was the question of whether or not the nonconformity had been lost. I think you received communication in that regard, so I don't need to go into that. But it stems from the fact that my clients pulled a second full building permit. My clients, from the outset, have understood this process, that they could be denied this application, but they chose to go forward because there were certain things about it that recommended it. I do recommend to my clients, when they're dealing with houses that are 19th century houses that contribute to the seascape, that they basically seek to preserve those houses as the reference of any project. And so my clients from the outset had three options. Two of them involve single family use, either by recent demolition and raising or by adding an addition. They chose to pursue the third option, which brought us here tonight, and that is extending the nonconforming nature of the building. The choice is really clear. I know there's been a lot, you will hear testimony tonight about the character of the neighborhood, and I know there's a lot of anti-development fervor that has basically all across the city. And I can understand the nature of that. But in this particular case, the character of the neighborhood, I should go to the planning department report, which focuses on the positive aspects here, and it does say that the addition would be compliant with other dimensional regulations such as height, front, side, and rear setbacks. But it does focus on the volume of the building, the FAR. Well, when the city council, or the Board of Aldermen, the predecessor of the council, 4, 5, 6 years ago adopted the changes to floor area ratio, you certainly knew when you established the sliding scale that you were creating situations where people could expand their homes. The fact of the matter is that while opponents have expressed disapproval of this petition as being inconsistent with the character of the neighborhood, the neighborhood is zoned in such a way to allow construction of homes that approximate the building volume here. We can cut my clients to put an addition to this house that would bring them within 200 square feet of what is being proposed. So really, when you're looking at what the character of the neighborhood, it's not only the volume, it's other dimensional standards, but it's also the size of the units. Our comprehensive plan has identified as one of its goals, the diversification of the housing stock. It's important to note, and I will end off on this, it's important to note that these units, the living area of these two units, 2,120 square feet and 1,690 square feet, are more closely aligned with the standard size of the existing homes that contribute to the character of this neighborhood. And in fact, we believe that they are more consistent with that than a single family 4,100 square foot home would be. With regard to particulars of the report, I want to address positively two things. One is there was a suggestion that we reduce the size of the pavement in the driveway. We submitted a plan today that will reduce the driveway width to 12 feet at its opening and significantly increase the open space by an additional 4% to 66%. My clients would agree to a condition, if we had got that far, that would basically allow the planning department to dictate the extent of landscaping. Those are the two issues. With regard to reducing the scope of the building, I think it's important to point out one important fact. This building, we went through three iterations with the zoning review process to basically get the design right to meet the definition of a two-family house as most recently amended by the council. In the past, you used to be able, when you created buildings of this design, you used to take the garage connector and reduce the roof height. But now, we couldn't do that in the situation because those would be considered attached dwellings. It's kind of ironic that we're basically put in a position that to meet the definition, we had to keep the ridge height, not only of the connector, but also of the new house. The positive thing is that the overall height of the new addition is 30 feet, where 36 is allowed, and the height of the overall house is 32 feet. Finally, Mr. Chairman, and this is the last thing, whatever way you choose, whether you choose to deny this petition and with the result being a 4,100 square foot single family home, or whether you approve this petition as requested, my clients will constitute a qualitative improvement of the property to the benefit of the neighborhood in lieu of the condition which had befallen the property for decades past prior to their stewardship. I thank you, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, for allowing me the opportunity to speak. If you have
any more, let me just get a couple issues for clarity here. I take it there's been significant construction going on this site before an application for a special permit was filed.
So it's subject to a building permit.
It's a simple question. Yes or no?
That's subject to the permit that was issued in July.
Okay. And was that permit for a two-family?
That the nature of that permit... I submitted the document, and I can tell you right now. It says two families.
Okay.
It says in the original application, two families right here.
All right. So just, Mr. Gleba or Ms. Young, just so we're clear, when we are being, just so the committee knows the standard and the public knows the standard, when we're being asked to extend a non-conforming two-family use, anything above the original footprint, as it were, is non-conforming, and that's a discretionary act that requires a special permit? Is that correct? Okay, just so we're really clear on the criteria. Why don't we take comments from members of the public first, and then I'm going to have Mr. Cleaver present, and I'm sure we have questions from folks. Councilor Rizal-Glazer, did you want to say something first?
Well, I have a little context.
All right, maybe, why don't we do this? Since this is your ward, Councilor Brusol-Glazer, why don't you provide us some context, and maybe, frankly, that will avoid or limit the need for folks to feel like they need to be heard. You're welcome.
I don't know about that.
No need to.
That's okay. I'm very short. Thank you. I just, you know, since as Attorney Morris said, there's been a lot of back and forth, and I thought it was good for the community to know that... some of the misunderstandings that the neighborhood has had are quite understandable. Not all of us, A, understand Newton zoning rules. B, when you see a stop work order, that raises your awareness of what's going on in your neighborhood. And C, there have been some strange improprieties, as is the word. You see, and I think it's difficult as a layperson to take all these improprieties in and not wonder what's going on. So just a couple quick things. Tony Holmes did say that, in fact, it was an administrative review historically, and it was fine. But the truth is that there was some discrepancy about the address, and the neighbors were concerned that the original address given was not the historic address. Now, that could have been completely by mistake. There's absolutely no accusation here. But that is true. They were given the 1920, you know, the Fuller Terrace address and not the historic address, which would have shown up in the records right away as an 1896 home.
Can I just ask for a second, has anyone talked to Ms. Holmes about that? And what has she said about that? Would it have made a difference to her decision?
She does not think it would have made a difference. I'm just trying to explain why the neighbors might be a little on edge. Another thing is, it's true that the July 18th building permit says two-family, but in fact,
When they went back on November 10th, they wrote down that the proposed use was a single family, at which point, which is also why the neighbors who thought, oh, it's a two-family within that structure, that seems lovely, oh, they're going to make it a single family, okay. So this time they said single family, at which point they said complete renovations inside and out, and three new roof dormers. In my conversations with the planning department this week, I learned that for a single family, you can by right add roof dormers, but for a multi-family or two-family residence, you cannot without a special permit. Again, was that on purpose? I haven't the faintest idea.
So
I don't know.
Can I just ask Attorney Morris, are they looking to put dormers in?
They're in.
They're in. Attorney Morris? Are the dormers in?
The dormers are on the first unit. They can see them. They're visually right.
So on a two-family, you need a special permit for your dormers. In a single-family, you don't, right?
You don't need a special permit for dormers unless you're going to expect, as you spent all that time in the previous situation, you don't need a special permit for dormers.
I was told by Ms. Nance that for a multi-family, you need, I'm sorry, it seems there, but I guess she's gone. For a multi-family, you need special permit.
For a two-family, do you or do not? Pardon? I just want to be clear. Whatever the rules are, the rules are. We're going to just get them straight.
I actually want to check and see what the height is under those dormers because I need to understand whether it's habitable space under there. I don't know what's under those dormers, but if it's not habitable space, it may not be an extension of the two-family structure.
Is it habitable space?
No, it's not. In fact, if you look at sheet number 5 on your submission, you will see that the architect did a very detailed analysis of that space in compliance with the provisions in the code and why it's not habitable.
So is it 6.11?
No, it's not. I mean, you have the...
What is it?
Pardon?
What is it?
6.4 in width. And he actually did two different versions. He basically told you what the square footage was at 5 feet and what is 7. And it doesn't apply. And it was all done according to... Some people may think it's creative, but that's why you hire professionals to basically do design.
Thank you. So just to...
We get our clarity. Go ahead.
But just to, as a point to show that the neighborhood might have been confused when the second permit came in as a single family, as opposed to a multifamily, just as a little context. I can stop there and just talk more.
No, if there's other things you want to add, Counselor, that would be very helpful.
Hmm.
They're more about the project at large as opposed to how it all came down. But I think the neighbors were confused because their first thoughts in July were that it was going to be a two-family in the existing building that is there now. And that's obviously not the case. But I'm sure the neighbors will make their feelings known.
All right. Well, sir, I explained that in my letter to you. I basically explained it that when they applied for the second permit in November, they basically have pursued a bilateral approach here, knowing that they could be denied, and if they were denied, they were simply going to put a condition on that they could build by right. So it was for that reason that box was checked. There was no attempt to subterfuge.
I presume the design of the dormers back months ago was with the two-family addition in mind, was it not?
Yes, it was, but I don't see how that's coming.
But then they come in November and they say it's a single-family addition? A single-family house?
The point is there was nothing beyond the existing footprint or frame of the house that was done. That you could say was done beyond the scope of extending the two-family, extending the non-conforming nature of the property.
Filed an application with the city saying it was a single-family structure. Is that correct?
You look at the building permit I gave you. It's a box that you checked.
Okay.
You know, it's one of five different things.
Just out of
they certainly didn't do it with any attempt to hide. What were they hiding? Look at it. That's what was going on.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney Morris. I'm sure we have a lot of comment. I know my colleagues will have questions. Counselor Harney?
Just one question. I guess what I heard Attorney Morris say, if this special permit is denied, then the builder intends to build a large addition and have a large single-family house there.
That is correct.
Okay.
If he can do it by right.
Okay. All right. Anything else before I take public comment? All right. Can I, Councilor Schwartz?
You know, I wanted to say that at the end of the last petition, and I'm just going to say, I also now want to say it at the beginning of this one. And it's, there's one thing to say by right, and yes, you know, for whatever reason, our zoning code is such, and it obviously needs review. There's a lot that can be done by right. But as we saw in the previous petition, there's value in not just doing something because you can do it. There's a community, and I think that what we're finding all around the city is a feeling that people feel that there's a lot going on that they don't have control over. And I would just say it behooves all of us, both in government and in the community, as well as builders, to just be thoughtful about maintaining that community spirit and trying to hear each other. Just because you can do something by right doesn't mean that you have to do it all the way to the edge of by right. And I just, we see this all the time, that if it were done a little bit less to the extreme, I think that there'd be a lot less opposition. So, you know, obviously, that's just an observation that I wanted to put out there. We'll do it based on what's allowed and what's not. But when there's relief being sought, it strikes me that petitioners should try to remember that they're part of a community. And you don't always do the extreme that you are allowed to do.
And now, thank you, Councilor Schwartz. And that was exceptionally well said. I'm going to add an observation, too, that I think I'm glad we had a community meeting, Attorney Morris, but it would have been far more helpful to have had this community meeting 6 months ago when you were starting on this project. And then you might have had an opportunity to really talk to people and maybe shape it a little bit the way Councilor Schwartz is doing. This doesn't help your clients, and this costs them a lot of money. Because there's time, there's your time, there's the architect's time, there's a lot of energy involved. So that's just an observation. It seems to me far better to do it early on, as Councilor Schwartz said, to have the conversation. You get much better projects that way, and you get much less opposition. And I know you came late to the game. With that, how many folks want to speak this evening? All right. I'm going to start on this side of the room. We're going to start with this gentleman here. We're going to move backwards. We're going to go to the back side, and then we'll move forward. Come on up, please. 3 minutes or less.
It'll be way less. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is William Byrne. I live at 76 Hatfield Road, which is just two doors away from the project. I've been in Loop for 64 years, born, raised, educated, retired from the Loop Police Department after 32 years. I don't have anything personal against the owners. I know Terry Morris very well. We opposed each other in baseball field for many years, coaching the kids. I just want to make my point that I think if the owners and the builders of this property were actually our neighbors, they'd be standing right behind me now in opposition to the same project. Simply put, I think that the proposed structure is way too large and out of character for our quiet neighborhood. And when you finally make your decision as to whether you grant the permit to continue, I would like you to take into consideration the fact that they were shut down. We've heard Attorney Morris describe what he thought were the reasons that they were shut down, but I would suggest that it was more of a choosing aspect than those. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Anyone in this first row, the second row? Third row, come on up, please. Who's ever next? Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Cope. I live at 74 Fuller Terrace. I'm directly across the street from 85 Fuller. In fact, it's the view I have every morning from my bedroom window. I'm the daughter of a real estate agent, so I respect that this is how the developers make their living, but the proposed 4,336 square foot structure does not respect our neighborhood. Your memorandum of residence summary lists significant issues for consideration when reviewing the request to extend the non-conforming two-family use and exceeding the maximum FAR, including whether or not the proposed structure is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood, and whether or not the site is an appropriate location for such a structure. The proposed 4,336 square foot structure is not consistent with the neighborhood, and the site is not appropriate. To show the committee how big the proposed structure will be compared to other houses on Fuller and Hatfield, I prepared a handout for you. A square footage analysis based on information from Zillow.com.
Sir, Counselor Auchincloss will get that for you. Thank you.
The handout matches the houses you see on the memorandum attachments A and B. Here are the numbers quickly in summary. We have 7 two families on Hatfield. They added 2,203 square feet. That's against their proposed 4,336, a difference of 2,133 square feet. They're going to be greater than the average two families by roughly 2 times. We have 13 single families on solar on Hatfield that you see on your map. On average, they are 1,879 square feet versus their 4,336. A difference of 2,457, greater than the average single family by 2.2 times the size. If you take all the teams and single families combined, our average is 1,970 versus 4,336. There's a 2.2 times the size, and you take in all of those houses you see on your addendum. Side note, as you've already heard, 4,336 does not include the attic with the three new dormers, although I suspect it will appear as living space on the listening sheet. The developer's initial plan to renovate the existing two-family structure would have allowed two middle income families to transform a wonderful neighborhood with a great backyard. The revised plan, 4,336 square feet, has no yard, only upper middle class families will be able to afford it. Although, if you have that kind of money, I'm not sure why you would want to share your bedroom wall with your neighbor. Whatever gets approved, after the developers make their money and move on to their next project, we, the neighbors, are stuck with their final structure for decades. Thank you in advance for your consideration of the long-term effect on our neighborhood rather than the short-term developer gains.
Thank you. Next, please, on this side of the room. Anybody? Right. Anyone on this side? Okay. In the back there, I'll start with the furthest row back. The woman who just raised her hand, come on up, please. Anybody else in front of her? The next person after that, come on up, please, as well, ma'am. Sorry, we've got to get a clear way to get to the podium here.
Take your time.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Joan Schultz, and I live at 64 Hatfield Road. I first want to say that the city council over there who spoke so eloquently about considerations that we should have, we don't have to do everything. And I think the case that was just brought up before this one is a perfect example of doing too much without any consideration for it beforehand. And as my sister just said, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. But the fact is that those people are left with an eyesore, and they can't by now ask the man to take it down. So we should really keep that right in our forefront as we think about this project and the impact that it has on our neighborhood. And I just want to note, too, that 115 neighbors, many of whom couldn't be here tonight, signed the petition. So you want to talk about community engagement and community support? This project has universally oppositional support. It's opposition to this. We do not support this at all. It is completely out of keeping with the character of our neighborhood, with the other structures in the neighborhood. And I think my neighbor Michelle just summed it up specifically, because I'm a psychologist, I'm not a zoning person, and she brought up exactly, there is no reason to extend the FAR, there's no need for relief here. This is a grab for as much as they can get, because it's not even their right, actually. They need a special permit now, don't they? Because they want to grab even more. So I think that you all have a job here to think about what's in character. Our neighborhood is now zoned single family. It is not zoned two family.
and the structures that existed there were grandfathered in. So how something that was a 2 units within a historic building morphed into this is beyond me. And I also want to note, I contacted Katie Holmes and the Historic Commission. She told me that the developer and the lawyer contacted her and misrepresented the address. And I gave her 85 Fuller Terrace, initially thinking myself. And then I thought, oh my gosh, wait a minute, that's not the address, this house is on Pleasant Street. All you have to do is go to the city website and pull up the map, and you can see that the house was there in 1897. It's not there in 1890, but it does appear in the 1907. So it was built somewhere between whatever, 1890 and 1907. So I just want to say again, I want to summarize what Michelle said. None of these reviewing issues I think, should be upheld. I think that, you know, the site is not appropriate for the location. It will adversely affect the neighborhood. And I do not think that they have a case to make for modifying this at all. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please, and then anybody else on this side, come on up. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Julia Cradle. I live at 30 Lodge Road. And I'm warning you to listen very carefully to this. I have lived in my house for 40 years, and there are more elderly people who live on Lodge Road. If they were to have come tonight, I would have had to drive them. But I wanted to get more information so I can take this back to them because they have concerns. So I'd really hope that you guys will truly listen to this, because some of those people are a lot older than I am, and I'll be 70 in July. So this may affect how they might have to sell their house if they can no longer live in it, and those things need to be considered. We have a beautiful neighborhood, and the neighborhood is a close neighborhood. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please. Sir, come on up. Attorney Harrington, you want to, I think the person behind you first.
My name is, for the record, Peter Harrington. I'm an attorney at 505 Waltham Street in West Newton, and I'm here to speak for Mr. Patriarch.
Oh, go ahead then.
I have here a map of the area. If you'd like to look at it, just perhaps refer to it while I'm talking. Didn't hear what you say.
You know, I'm not going to... Being president is a tough job. You've got to get your minions and take care of
this. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the map that I passed out shows the a section of West Newton. West Newton was rezoned, or that lower part of West Newton was rezoned in the 60s from two-family to single-family zone. And the reason, as I recall, the reason that that was done was they wanted to create a single-family area of modest homes and available to working blue-collar people, middle-class people. If you look at the map, you'll see there's Waltham Street on the right and Cherry Street on the left. And at the bottom is Derby Street, and at the top is Annapolis Road. And it actually goes right up to the Waltham line. But I counted all of the homes in that area between Waltham and Cherry and Annapolis and Derby Street. There are about 190 homes there. They're mostly single-family homes. They're mostly on 7,000 to 10,000 square-foot lots. Most of the lots are substandard lots. And they're mostly single family. There are some two families. The average size of the house, I think Mr. Patriarchus is one of the smallest. He has 1,200 square feet. And the largest size, they run between 1,700 and 2,800 square feet. And there are a few that hit the 3,000 there, 3,200, 3,400. This proposal is opposed by Mr. Patriarca. However, I've been instructed to tell you that he sent you a letter. And in that letter, he says that if you do decide to vote in favor of this, he would like you to make sure there's an insurance policy that will cover any damage to his house during construction, and I think that's a standard thing. I know they get, I think the building department requires proof of insurance. To provide construction fencing to prevent dust and debris from coming into his property. That one of the problems in this neighborhood is it's subject to flooding. I don't know where the water comes from, but in a heavy rain, there's a lot of water there, and he wants to ask you to make sure that the drainage on the lot is such that it will not run off the lot and run onto his property. And there is a large tree in the southeast corner of the property, and his question is that going to be removed during the course of construction? No, it's not going to be removed. Okay. Well, all right. He'd like it removed, so if anyone changes their mind about that, he'd be happy about that. There are some unusual aspects to this project, and I'm not cognizant of all of them, but...
Attorney Harrington, I'm going to ask you to try to wrap up in the next 30 seconds or so, please.
Yeah, I can't possibly do that, so I'll address, and you can just tell me to go. But this
well, I'll give you one more minute, and then the rest can be in writing, okay?
This house shows on the assessor's plan as a three-family house. Question, when that property was converted to a three-family, did they lose their grandfathering rights as a non-conforming two-family? I think there's an argument that that may have happened. Number two, it's been some time since I discussed this with Attorney Young, but I believe there's a problem, or there was a problem, about using a non-conforming use structure and turning it into a condominium because there's a possibility that the use can disappear. And I haven't been following the statutory regulations to see if that's been corrected or not, but it's an issue that I point out to you that should be taken under consideration. The other thing that I would say is that Chapter 48 says that where there's a pre-existing non-conforming use, it may be extended, provided there's a finding that such extension shall not substantially be more detrimental than the existing non-conforming use to the neighborhood. Now, since the petitioners sent out notices to 30 people, I assume that they've defined the neighborhood as the Hatfield Solar Terrace Street enclave there. It seems to me that taking a 2,400 square foot house and turning it into a 4,300 square foot house is going to have a more detrimental effect, and I think that you could find that the question here is that the proposed change in use by expanding it and expanding the house, doubling the house, and it may be you want to find out how big that non-conforming use was. Was it
Attorney Harrington, I'm going to ask you to wrap up now.
Yeah, okay. 300 feet or 600 feet, if there were three units, you use the larger or the smaller.
Okay.
And when you convert that into a 1,200 or 1,400 square foot unit, it is substantially larger than the others. And it's also larger than the other non-conforming apartments in the neighborhood.
Thank you very much. All right. Anyone else who wishes to speak this evening? We're not closing the public hearing, just so we're clear. Up here, and I think I saw somebody in the back there as well. Ma'am, did you want to speak as well?
Well,
go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dave Schultz, 64 Hatfield Road. I'd just like to confirm that construction started on this house. Dormers were placed, and then it was shut down. Plus, when we had the neighborhood meeting, the entire house completely gutted. basement has been lowered. There was clearly intent on the part of this developer to do much more than originally stated. Also, I'd also like to confirm that we do have severe problems with groundwater. When this additional foundation goes in, there's going to be extreme disruption of natural flows in the ground, in and around, and it will affect many properties. I'm 3 properties away, and I'm really strongly in opposition to this as being totally out of character with our neighborhood. The right to light of neighbors that are behind this structure is going to be impacted. It is going to be so large that they're going to have all these people staring in on their back door windows, just feet away from the property line. That's it. That's all I want to say. Thank you, sir.
Next, please. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Roman Muzikin. I'm at 60 Hatfield Road. I'm wondering if you have another slide with a front elevation or plans that will clearly show what's going on with this project.
Because this is the
old structure, and we cannot see the new what's proposed.
So, do you have some photos? I
have the front elevation, and if you see this, hopefully you have this on your table. Yeah, here you go. So it's clearly, you can see here that the footprint is going to grow more than twice. So with the new dorms, which are already in, and the increasing ceiling in the foundation, in the basement, that only the existing structure could be potentially rented to 2-3 families. With the addition of a new one, it probably could be rented to another 3 families. And it's clearly, you can see, this is not single family house, just the way it looks on the screen. So with all this potential renting future of this property, it's not going to serve to the best interest of our neighborhood. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Next, please.
Kathleen Crow Grazer, 258 Mill Street from Newtonville. I'm here as a member of the Newton Villages Alliance because we see projects like this from time to time in all different parts of Newton. And interestingly enough, we often see Terry Morris when we come to protest about them. I see a few tricks here that I've seen over and over again, lowering the basement, having an attic that's not quite habitable space, but is actually habitable space, submitting the wrong address. That happened at Wetherill House in Upper Falls so that the Historic Commission doesn't know what property they're actually looking at. And then the mention of the comprehensive plan, that's particularly disingenuous. If we're looking for housing diversity, this is already a two-family house. We're not creating a different kind of housing diversity here. We would just end up with 2 much bigger units. I don't see how that increases housing choice and diversity. It just makes housing more expensive. Please vote against this special permit request. This request is a perversion of the intention of grandfathering, that is to allow existing structures to legally remain when there's a change of zone. If the applicant chooses to give up the benefit of having the existing structure be a non-conforming two-family by converting it to a single-family house, he should not be allowed to have his cake and eat it too by adding another unit to the property. In addition, it's not even clear if this house really should have been grandfathered because it's unclear when it began to be used as a two-family in relation to when the area was zoned single-family. This was written before I heard what Peter Harrington had to say. The planning memo only says that it was originally built as a single-family residence and received a building permit in 1962 to convert to two-family. But most of the nearby houses were built between 1940 and 1951, and a 1921 zoning map on the city website shows this area was zoned single-family in 1921. So the abutters are opposed to this. That's very clear. And it's also worth noting that the developer, owner, DNS Remodeling, applied for and received on the same day, July 18, 2016, a building permit to renovate the existing building as a two-family. So this is what the developers told the neighbors that he was doing last year. He was going to renovate the existing two-family, and that was the plan that they supported. And so therefore, any claim that he makes that he needs to build what is essentially a second house to make a profit must be considered suspect. And in any case, it's not the function of the city council to ensure that any developer makes a profit.
So, to sum up, this appears to be one of those special permit applications where the request is so excessive that it must be seen as part of a bargaining strategy. And too often it appears that counselors are drawn into becoming bargaining agents for applicants, helping the applicant figure out how to make their project just unobjectionable enough to get enough votes for approval. And I don't believe that this is an appropriate role, and there's no support for it in state law. Furthermore, this approach encourages the practice of developers coming in with outrageous initial requests, expecting them to be bargained down. And rather than subjecting all parties to another protracted exercise like that, I suggest please just vote this item down. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else who wishes to be heard? Come on up, please.
So this is Yachin, my wife Yin. We live at 45 Pleasant Street. We're direct neighbor to this property. We concur with what has been said by our neighbors. We are against such a development. This proposed structure is more than double the original size, violating the maximum FLR limit. We didn't realize this until recently, informed by our neighbors. We thought this is just a renovation to the existing structure. The new addition is huge. It blocks the sunlight to our house. It directly affects our life. It is a single-family zone. If the property is converted to a multi-family, more people will live at this site. It will be more noisy, and they can look into our yard and rooms directly. It will have great impact on our privacy. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, please. I saw several people who still want to speak. Come on up, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Ron Baker. I live at 96 Fordham Road in West Newton. I've been a resident of that area for 38 years. I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Newton. And I'm 68 years old. Thank you, Councillor, for your eloquent presentation, along with many members over here this evening. I will keep this brief. All of the people sitting behind me in this room are here for one reason, and that's to oppose this petition for this special permit. As a former member of the building trade myself, I'm always leery when a lawyer comes to a meeting. I've been in this business myself for a long time. I've seen a lot of things. I've been involved directly with building homes in this city. And this project far exceeds anything that I've ever worked on myself in this city. And I feel that special attention needs to be given to this and also to the builders that are involved in this, that it seems to my appearance that in most cases what happened here was they got into a project. They felt like they were going to make a good amount of money on it. They ran into some problems and decided to change things along the way. So on behalf of those that will not stand or cannot stand or won't stand, I stand before you and request that you deny this petition for a special permit. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Gentleman there. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Eric Brody. I am a resident at 59 Fuller Terrace. And I wanted to second Mr. Baker's concerns about lawyers coming to these meetings. But then again, I also have to confess I'm a lawyer, so maybe it's not so bad. But
I'm a lawyer. I happen to think it's great when lawyers show up. That's just my personal view.
But in all seriousness, certainly I do respect the rule of law. I wanted to correct a point that was made. We are looking at the original structure here as being 1,863 square feet. The proposed structure here is going to be nearly 1.5 times that structure. So we're going to end up with something that's more than 150% bigger, effectively putting two houses in this lot where there was just one. But let's break it down into two separate questions. There really are two petitions for the two special permit applications here. The first is for permission to go to exceed the floor area ratio. I would note that this has not even been built yet. It's not in, it hasn't been constructed. The only thing that's been done is modifications of the house that was already there. That being said, I see no reason to excuse an attempt to go over the floor area ratio for a building that hasn't even been constructed yet. I guess I should also say that, you know, going last means that all the good points have been taken, so I'll just second the concerns that that my neighbors have raised. And I also want to second the point that was raised by the councilman earlier just because you can do something by right doesn't mean that it is right. There's been representations made by Attorney Morris that if these special permits are denied, then the developers will instead build a single family house, and I would just request that they take into account the concerns that are raised by the members of the neighborhood, and if there is a revision to those plans, that those be taken into account, and that perhaps something of a smaller scale can be put together that everybody will be happy with. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. One or the other, doesn't matter. This gentleman and former Alderman Mansfield. Good evening.
Okay. Hi, I'm Andrew Morris from 74 Harris. I just wanted to support the neighbors here. I think that there's been a lot of concern around this. It is a very large structure and out of keeping with the neighborhood. It also seems like there's been a lack of transparency around what the building was. It seems to have taken three stages to get here. So there seems to be sort of a lack of trust building around what was intended and what is intended still. So I guess I'd urge the council to be critical as you're looking at this going forward. And it's too bad that the owner's not here. I guess it would be nice if the owner was willing to engage the neighborhood again with a transparent plan of what he planned. Because I don't think we see it there, but I guess we haven't had a conversation except for in this. This is the owner? Ah, good. Okay. Well, so.
We'll take that conversation offline if we could.
That's fine. Also, well, I think that maybe maybe another meeting with the neighborhood to sort of talk about what the current plan is, which seems to be very different from what was proposed a year ago, would be a good thing to do.
Folks, I'm going to ask that we not have it back and forth dialogue. Okay, you can take that offline. Okay, ma'am, I think you've been patient. Come on up. Then, former Alderman Mansfield after that, please. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Julia Wolf. I live at 170 Cherry Street. And I want to agree with everything everybody has said. I just want to point out that two doors down from me, there was a two-family that converted to a single family, and it's about 5,000 square feet with six bathrooms, and it's still on the market after 2 years. So please deny this. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, George, and then anybody else after that. Remember, the public hearing is going to stay open. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is George Mansfield. I live at 312 Lake Avenue in Newton Highlands. Obviously, I am not a resident of this neighborhood, although I was a resident of this neighborhood and was my first residence in Newton. I was in a two-family in this neighborhood. That's not why I'm here, though. I'm here because I was contacted within the last 36 hours by a couple of people in this neighborhood who may have known that I once sat in the chair you're sitting in, Mr. Chairman, and hope that I could give them a little clarity on this. I haven't had much time to look into it, but I did look into it this afternoon, and I have some information that hasn't been presented before in some questions, and I hope you have a chance to let me give you those questions. The question I wanted to find out is something about the history of this house. And Newton's online archives are pretty good, although I wasn't quite aware of how good they were until I started looking at them this afternoon. What I found is that this house was built not in 1890, but sometime between 1896 and 1907, because those are the two atlases. We have a number of atlases from different years, and those are the two atlases that existed. The house was then located on Pleasant Street. I believe it was 49 Pleasant Street at that time. In 1921, also found them in the archives that are online in the city clerk's office, there is essentially the first zoning map in the city. Zoning as a tool of local government was not created in this country until around 1920. So the 1921 zoning map, I'm sure, was the first zoning map and also zoning ordinance that this city adopted. In 1921, this house was one of two houses on Pleasant Street, and it was a single-family house. It was owned and occupied by Carl Carlson, who was a watchmaker, and he lived there with his wife, Mrs. Christine Carlson. It wasn't single family use, therefore, in 1921, but also in 1921, it was a single family zone. In fact, the whole area north of Derby Street and to the east and west of Cherry Street was all zoned single family. It was a pretty sparsely developed area, and only the village centers were zoned multifamily at that time, and business, the rest of the city was zoned single family. You can follow this through the atlases for a number of years up until about 1935, at which time they do not exist in our city archives, as far as I know. But in that time, Mr. Carlson and his wife lived there through the 20s, about 1929. He disappeared from the record, but she's there with two or three children up until 1935. And as I said before, it was zoned single family and was used as a single family. What we have from the planning department report, however, is that this property obtained a two-family permit in 1962. I do not know how that happened or why that happened. I do not know whether the city rezoned this area as a two-family area or a multi-family area, and then that to an SR3 area, or how that took place. But I think I would like to ask, Mr. Chair, I would like to ask that the Land Use Committee, you said you're not going to take action on this tonight already, but...
I'm not going to act on this tonight. I would ask you to wrap up if you would.
I would ask that you look into the history of the zoning of this property as well as the use of this property.
Let me just ask the question so I get some clarity, because I want our planners to do it. Is the suggestion that this was not converted to a two-family, that you've seen no evidence?
No evidence up to 1935.
When was this converted to a two-family? Was it 62?
1963, yes.
You have to speak into the microphone.
Sure. 1963. There was a building permit that allowed it to be turned into a two-family house.
Okay.
But the question is, what was the zoning in 1962?
Yes, I'm told that building permit from 1962 said the property was in a private residence with no permitted two families at that time. I don't know exactly when the zoning went on, but as you appreciate, the zoning maps are not always the best kept items. I do think, however, a building permit that identified the zone as private residence in 1962 is one that you should be able to verify.
So are you suggesting, Ms. Young, that you or Mr. Griever or someone else will verify it?
We will look into that particular thing. But again, I did check to see if private residency permitted a two-family by rights back in the day, and it did. Right. It did.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Attorney Nance.
I want to make it clear, I'm not an attorney. Thank you.
But if you do have something else you want to say, please put it in writing and direct it to us. All right. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Raina Gretz, and I live on Pinewood Road in Waubin. And George addressed quite a few of my comments on it, because on this proposed build. But I would also ask that, in fact, the permitting be reviewed, because what I'm seeing online is that they actually pulled the building permit to renovate, to gut and renovate a single residence property. And to me, in my mind, I see it as a conversion from a two-family to a single family. And then by, you know, having done that conversion, it drops away, its nonconformity is lost, and that it would be then required to go through a special permit process.
Thank you very much. Anybody else at this time? Come on up, please. Good evening.
I'll be quick. Hi, my name is Ruth Shree Shah. I live on 29 Pleasant Street. The proposed plan would be diagonal to my home and basically in my backyard. While I agree with everything that has been said, I'll focus on the specific impact that this proposal has on me and my family, which includes two young boys who will attend the Franklin Elementary School in the next few years. While we were very lucky and fortunate to have been able to purchase our home in Newton 2 years ago, as we try to build a community for ourselves and our small children, it's unfortunate that friends of ours with small children, middle-class families, cannot afford any longer to move into Newton. This is not the community that we thought we were buying into. I strongly oppose this project and encourage you to make a site visit and a decision that will continue to provide young families that are starting out the opportunity to move into a neighborhood and not build cookie-cutter homes that immediately price younger families out of means. I respect people being able to expand their properties reasonably, but however, this does not feel reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else this evening, remember the public hearing stays open. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to forego having the planning department do much of a presentation here, unless, Mr. Griebel, there's something you feel you need to bring to our particular attention.
Nothing in particular has to do with the city plans, photos, criteria.
Why don't we do this? I think we've heard a lot this evening. We're clearly not going to take it up this tonight. Why don't we take some comment and questions from my colleagues? I'll tee off with Councilor Schwartz, Cody, Crosley.
I'm going to not make any comments. I just thought that given that we have a large crowd here, that we always want to make sure they know, they understand the facts. Could perhaps Attorney Young relate to them what she's related to us about this whole nonconformity being lost? Because I thought I read a memo from you or a communication from you that said that that was not the case in your interpretation, that the nonconformity had been lost. And I just want to make sure if that's the case that everybody hears that, because the last comment seems to suggest that it could have been lost.
But I disagree with that, and I'm disagreeing with it on the grounds that, in fact, the certainly at the time the first building permit was pulled, you heard testimony tonight that it was done with the intent of renovating the existing structure, but still a two-family use. I'm also told that, in fact, in early July, the developer came in and had a two-family configuration. They're similar to what's actually in front of us right now, and was reviewing that with the planning department in terms of how the development would be done. And we know that, in fact, that has been amended because of the, as Attorney Morris pointed out, there was a requirement under the definition of two-family to essentially bulk up the connection over the garage, and that's the change that's been made. That plan was the intent of the developer from the very onset, and there has not been an abandonment, in my view, of the two-family, even though the existing structure was being renovated into one of the two-family dwellings. And I think it's an unartful way of specifying what was being done. I don't know whether the inspectors knew exactly what was in the wings in terms of the total, but there was no intent on the part of the developer to drop the two-family or discontinue the two-family, and under our zoning ordinance, it also states that you must have an intent to abandon for a period of 2 years before you lose your non-conforming. So for a variety of reasons, I've concluded that I disagree with the statement from the individual that there was a loss of the two-family non-conforming use by virtue of the existing structure being renovated into a single-family. It could be converted back into a two-family, in my view.
And thank you, because I think that's very important for everybody to hear. Obviously, we take your conclusions very seriously. The other piece of it, though, is even so, this relief that's being sought, one of the two reliefs, is to extend the nonconformity, so they need a special permit in any way for that. And I guess if they had lost the nonconformity, would that be a different relief they would be requesting, or would it be the same?
They can't get a two-family in that district with a special permit. They have to have a non-conforming two-family in order to extend a non-conforming.
So there has to be an extension. It can't be a creation.
Just so we're clear, if they lost it, they couldn't ask for it at all. Your legal opinion is they have it, they can ask for it, up to us whether we grant it or not by a special permit. Is that a fair summary? Okay. That help? Thank Councilor Schwartz, thank you for the clarification. Councilor Cody and then Crosley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm the Ward 3 West Newton representative on the Land Use Committee for Special Permits. And I just want Attorney Morris and my colleagues to be aware of, it appears to me from all of the discussion I've heard this evening that there is no opposition in remaining for this building to remain a two-family. It's just to make the size of it what it is being proposed. I don't think that I would be one, I know I would not want to be the one now to actually change the neighborhood configuration and start allowing something like this to happen, because although I know it doesn't necessarily create a precedent, it does create a precedent in the minds of future city councilors when they look and say, well, they did allow a monster two-family down there at, you know, at this address here, and it's like if they do that here, then they could allow it somewhere else. So I just want my colleagues and everything to be very clear, and then also all the folks that am very sorry that you're here tonight, because they helped us make a statement that I'm not going to support this, Attorney Morris, at all, you know, with this size. I would go with the fact that they could have a two-family, but bring it down to a practical size where it actually would have some benefit to the neighborhood, because we've heard cost that obviously is an issue in West Newton, and that a smaller two-family would allow for a more amenable rent to the families that want to come in and rent there. So our concern is, I think Councilor Schwartz had mentioned, we're not worried about necessarily the profits or whatever of the thing. We're looking for the right situation here. And what I would support on the council and the land use committee is that more than happy to keep it a two-family, but a smaller two-family on the current footprint, and we'll totally not be at all in the program here to put this large structure together. So that'll be my position with this.
Councilor Clausley.
Thank you. I actually agree with a lot of what Councilor Cody and others have said, but I want to get a little more specific. I understand that the two-family use is allowed. I understand that everything else is by special permit under our discretion. I understand that the floor area ratio allowed on this site would allow up to 4,139 square feet. And I agree with the testimony, the fellow who said there's absolutely no reason, just as a starting point, to allow more square footage than that. That brings it down 202 square feet, which relative to the size of this may not seem like a lot. But there's a lot of steps, I think, that could be taken to minimize the bulk and mass and apparent size of these units and even actual size. I don't think the petitioner is doing himself any favors with the way the drawings are done and how they represent the project, because they don't at all show the articulation of the structure and so forth. And in order to capture a few more square feet of space over the garages, and I understand the awkward definition that we currently have requires a continuous living space. You can't just butt two garages together. There's different ways you could do that. You don't have to have a full height second story, for example, over those garages. You could ratchet that down quite a bit. That's just an idea. I'm not saying that's the thing that would get me to support this. I would like to see for the next time a serious consideration given to reducing the size of the bulk and mass on the site, a lot of which, as I understand, is because you're having a couple of covered garages. That by itself is increasing the square footage you need by quite a bit. I don't know if this project can get to something the way you've configured the site that is within character with this neighborhood. I know this neighborhood very well, as a matter of fact. I have served as an architect many years ago to an affordable housing developer who renovated a number of the existing two families in this area. Not adding any or extremely modest square footage like it to fix an entryway or something. I don't know how the existing structure with a modest addition might incorporate a two-family use, but that's not our job here. I just think it wasn't something that was even considered. I wouldn't mind expanding the house on a lot a bit in order to accommodate a two-family use. I just think it could be done much more sensitively to the existing structure and to the site. I understand, and I'm sorry that, you know, 4,139 square feet is what is allowed by right, and it could be a single family, which would mean the large mass on this site, only 200 square feet less than what you're showing us now. would be a large house for this area, and it would still be out of character among the other homes in this area. And so that's the alternative, and I know we think about here what the alternatives are and whether or not that's better or worse. I'd rather see the house remain as a two-family use, but not like this. I think this is, it's awkward the way it's designed and presented. I would like to see your revised site plan as well, showing how you propose to do the driveway so that it's not so massive, but that's a relatively minor point. I would like some clarification on what prompted the stopped work order, not now, but just for next time. I just want to say for the record, we all know this now here, but our constituents may not. I'm not as concerned about groundwater issues here. Our rules are very strict in terms of providing on-site stormwater management that gets reviewed by engineering and so forth to a very high level. So probably the new work would improve that situation, in fact, for neighboring properties. Let's see, was there something else? Yeah, you know, the units that you're proposing, although I like generally the idea of smaller units rather than one large unit, these are not affordable units by any stretch of the imagination, and there's no requirement when you have only two units to make one of them affordable, and we understand why is that makes the project overall not affordable, because you have to subsidize one unit with the other unless you're an affordable housing developer. So I guess that's it for now. I don't have any particular solutions for this, but I don't like what I see. Thank
Councilor
you.
Lennon? Thank you, Councilor Crosley. Councilor Lennon?
For the council's, the committee, I mean, if you recall, this project reminds me a lot of a petition we did in my neck of the woods a while back on Chandler Street, where we worked really hard with the petitioner developer to really scale back the size and get something that the neighborhood could accept. Even though they were granted an additional unit, there was a lot of willingness on the developer to scale back the mass to be more of a by right size to work within that. And I guess I would agree with what Councilor Crosley is saying, is, and Councilor Cody actually, I think it would really behoove the developer. I mean, they obviously hear the concerns of the neighborhood, but also the concerns of this committee. I think it would go a long way if we really scaled back what we were trying to do here. I know we're going to sort out the single family, two family. It sounds like there's still some. I appreciate Attorney Young's input, Mr. Young's input to this. That you know it is a two family, but I can't. You know, the way that this is put together now is very difficult for me to move forward with. I really think it would be helpful to take a long, hard look at what we're putting on this site that could be palatable, not only to the community, but I think I'm hearing from my colleagues on the committee. So I just wanted to put that on the record as we're moving forward.
Anyone else want to add something at this juncture? All right. Councilor Schwartz?
Just want to echo Councilor Crosley's comment that, I've seen a lot of projects come in before us where, you know, the FAR needs to be a little higher because of the program, and, you know, it's just a, you know, it's above what's allowed, but it's just a little bit above because they're trying to do a little bit more than what they can currently fit under the current size. But And Councilor Lennon and I also, we're just talking about this. If you've got a new construction that you're going to add to this, you know, I just don't see why you go to 0.43. It just, there's no need for that. why not stick with 0.41 or even 0.39, double it, 0.38? I just don't see why we have to continually consider these large apps when you can do it in a smaller size. And it's just tiring and frustrating that this just creates such bad feeling. The developers are going to kill the golden goose that is currently powering so much of their profits, and I think it's unwise and short-sighted.
All right. Well, I'm gonna conclude with some brief observations, and then we're gonna tell you when we're gonna take this up again. I agree with Attorney Morris and your clients. I agree with a lot of what's been said. I got to tell you, I see zero reason to expand FAR here beyond what's allowed as a matter of right, period. Second, I'm having a very difficult time with this plan as presented, or frankly anything close to it, extending the existing two-family nonconformity. I mean, if it was a modest increase to what's there now, certainly I can understand why that would actually be better than a large single-family house, but I'm not seeing it at all. So with that, we're going to take this up again on April 13th. So Thursday night, it's not our regular committee night, but we have a Passover holiday, we have other things. So April 13th is when we're taking it up again. I sincerely hope, Attorney Morris, that there's a considerable amount of time spent between now and then trying to rethink this project. Okay, can I have a motion to hold, please? Motion to hold by Attorney Councilor Cody, all in favor of hold? 8 in favor, none opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Oh, how thrilling. I appreciate the light. I was looking for a little bit of... I appreciate that for you.
Thank you.